Boker Tov, and welcome back to another in our continued series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We're on Vomot, Daf Tet, and Mubet at the very end of the Yomud. And we're still in the middle of a discussion which has its roots in Levi's challenge to Rebbe. So a little bit of review from yesterday. Levi asked Rebbe why there are 15 on a list and not 16, and Rebbe responded with somewhat incredulity that Levi would even ask this question. And the one that he was pointing to was Imo Anusat Aviv. And evidently Rebbe's answer was that the Tana does not deal with issues that are subject to Machloket, and it's Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda would say Imo Anusat Aviv is impossible because she would not have been able to marry the brother, and so therefore couldn't be on the list. So then we took a look and said, is it really true that our Tana avoids issues that are subject to dispute? We saw the issue for Bekiva. We said that's another parak. We saw Beit Shammai in our parak. We said that's not Machloket. Beit Shammai is disregarded. And then we got to the issue of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. We said that's a Machloket of Shimon Rabbanan. However, since Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Rabbanan, if in the case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, the brother was born when she became a Yavama of the first brother after he died. The brother was born, and then she did Yibum with the brother number two. In other words, brother number one died, brother number three was born, then she did Yibum to brother number two. Rabbi Shimon agrees that brother number three may never have relations with her, and she's an heir of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Then we brought in the Mishnah in the third parak, which presents the circumstance where two sisters are married to two brothers. There are a total of four brothers in the scene. The two sisters die, and in that case, the two brothers have to give chalitza to both sisters, but if one of the sisters is also to one of the brothers because of some other erva, then she can do yibum with the other brother, and we even allow for the possibility of a crisscross. Meaning that one, that sister number one is usher to brother number four, so can do brother number three, and sister number two, in the meantime, is usher to brother number three, she could do number four, as an example. And then we saw Rabbi Chiya's limud. Rabbi Chiya said that every item in our Mishnah is subject to that possibility. So Rav Yehuda limited it to saying the first six can't be. Abaye said really all of them could be, because Bito Me'anu Sato will count. But Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo can't because it can only work according to Rav Shimon. That's what we got up to. Rav Safra, Metargim, Af Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. He said that all 15 could count. Mishkachadna, Mishita Achim, Valivin Rav Shimon. And it would happen with the scenario that we laid out, and it's on page 8, which was in the previous podcast link, worthwhile looking at. The scenario where you have brothers 1 through 4 are alive. Brother one dies, and they're married to two sisters, sister one and sister two. Brother one dies, brother five is so, and brother five is born. Brother three does yibum on sister one, and then because brother three is also the sister number. Brother three does yibum on sister one, that's fine. Then brother two dies, brother six is then born, and then brother four does yibum on sister number two, and then brothers three and four die, so brother three, or sister one is mutter to number six, and sister two is mutter to number five, only according to Rabbi Shimon. Rav Safra says that will work, but leave it to Rabbi Shimon. The way to play the scenario out is that the brother number one died, then brother number five was born, and then brother number three did yibum. Only in that circumstance will this play out. It has to happen twice, of course. The Rebbe, honey, clearly lately. And the answer is that Rebbe doesn't accept the principle that all of these scenarios have to be able to play out, because indeed this could only play out according to Rabbi Shimon. We'll revisit this in a minute. Rav Acha Karchina Kameh de Rav Kahana Mar, he said the following, Mishmei de Rav. You know, Rebbe really accepts the principle that all 15 cases could play out in the crisscross. This is what Rebbe said to Levi. Imo anusat aviv, that case of the mother who was never married to the father, could never happen with a crisscross, and that's why it's not mentioned. In other words, such a case could happen, but it could never happen in a crisscross. Why? If Yaakov, the father, was ones, two sisters, right, then you could have a scenario where her sister is her koyivama, but then you could not have each other sort of one and mutar to the other, because she being the anusa of the father means that any of the brothers are going to have her asur to both of them. Now, and if it's two separate people who aren't related to each other, then you could have one be asur, one the other, but then they couldn't be sisters to each other. So the only way to have two sisters, they're sisters of each other, where they fall, and one is mutar to one brother, and the other is mutar to the other brother, could not happen in the case of ones. So it says, therefore, it's not listed in the Mishnah. It's not listed in the Mishnah because it cannot totally fulfill the scenario in Parakim. Which means he accepts Rav Chiya's stricture that our list is a list that has to also morph onto the scene in Parakim. He disagrees and says, Rebbe rejects with Plug to Kamari, and he also rejects what we said earlier, and that is that our Mishnah is willing to take on cases that are subject to machloket, like Heshnach Yishalei Mo. My Kimaduma Nishain Lamoach Makab Kado. Why did Rebbe react so strongly and said, Levi seems like he's got no brain dead? At Kamarle, Hachi Kamarle, Mikoma Kom Ladaika, my time of Ladaika, but Niti. What he was saying to Levi was not, Mo Anusat Aviv can't be in the Mishnah, because it's Shoribu Machloket. What he's saying to Levi is, why haven't you paid attention that our Mishnah is offered by Rebbe? Maninu Biyuda, why? To Amar Banusat Aviv, the Asar Banusat Aviv. We'll get to that in a minute. Tani, Shesh Arayot Chamurot Mielu, and Mishnah Gimel, which is coming up on that. It lists the six Arayot that are more severe than the 15 in our Mishnah. She'ein Nesuot L'Acherim, Mishin Nesuot L'Acherim, Tzorten Mutarot. In other words, that they are people who could not marry any of the brothers, and therefore the tzarot are mutar. Imo, who are they? Imo, ve'esh aviv, v'achot aviv, right? So his own mother, it's the mother of to all the brothers. Sorry, it's mother, which means she's also eshet of the father of any of these brothers. Eshet aviv, v'achot aviv. So my imo, why does it say imo? Ilema nusuat aviv, if you're talking about his mother, who is married to his father, Hainu Eshet Aviv. That's the second one, Eshet Aviv. So, Agudo Imo and Eshet Aviv. Lav Anusat Aviv. It says Anusat Aviv. Uktani, Neshein Nesuot Lachirim. Lachirim in Lachin Lo, which means they can marry others, but they can't marry any of the brothers. Why would Anusat Aviv not be able to? Only if Rabbi Yehuda is the author who says Anusat Aviv may not marry. Now, let's just remind ourselves what this means. We had a machloka back in the Sugya, it was mentioned back in the Sugya of Smuchim, that Rabbi Yehuda maintains that the Tanakhama holds that Anusat Aviv Umufutat Aviv is mutter, meaning a man is allowed to marry a woman that his father had relations with outside of marriage. Whatever, Onus and Pitu. Right? Rabbi Yehuda disagrees based on the Smuchim. So now that Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, would have a scenario where a woman would fall to a man, and that woman is his own mother, but she cannot marry any of the brothers. Why not? She can't be because she's the wife of their father, because that's already listed in Eshet Aviv. So who's Imo? It must mean somebody who the father never married, but gave birth to this son. Why can't the other brothers marry her? The other brothers can't marry her because they're not allowed to marry Anusat Aviv. Therefore, we see that our author is Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So Man Shamat Leidi Eli Hasfar, who is it who holds that? Rabbi Yehuda. Amar ben Anusat Aviv. Right? Dasa ben Anusat Aviv. Shumachi Lo Tanile. That's why we don't list Imo Anusat Aviv in our Mishnah, because it's, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it could not happen. You could not have a circumstance where your own mother falls to you, Anusat Aviv, And she's usher to you, but mutter to the other brothers. She can't be mutter to any of the brothers, because the only thing that connects you to your brothers is your father. That's Ravashi. Now, Amar Ravina Ravashi. The Rebbe Yehuda, Nami Mishkacha Ba. Even according to Rebbe Yehuda, he could have such a case. Why? De'i Avar V'nasi. Let's say that one of the brothers went ahead and married Anusata. Right? In that case, you would have a scenario where she fell. Oh, now you can open up a whole new ball of wax, which is possibility of an illegal marriage, and then how that would play out. De'i Loktani. What's the answer? The De'i, meaning a case where somebody went ahead and violated, he didn't mention in the Mishnah. In other words, he only mentioned legal marriages, not illegal marriages. So Amar Rav Ashi to Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi then turns to Rav Kahana and says, "Below De'i nami mishkachta." You could even have a case of Anusataviv playing out without him, without our index brother having Mary, the one who died, and we have to even form, having violated any marital laws. That doesn't mean that nobody violated marital laws, but that he did. How's that? Yaakov, who's the father? Anas Kalato. He was Ones, a girl who had been previously married to his son. All right, Kalato. Well, leave me mena ben. And so now, there is a son who is the union, who is the fruit of that union. Who is that son? Well, it's Yaakov's grandson. And it's also, in a sense, it is the brother of Yaakov's son. Right? So now, Umeitu Ruvain, below Banim. Now, the Ruvain, Yaakov's son, dies without children. Benafala Kameh, Kameh Bra. So what happens is this Kala now falls to her own son. Right? Because he's also the brother of her husband. Umigo Dini Asura Tzarata Nami Asura. And since she's also Asur, so the tzarot are also Asur, which means Anusat Aviv could be in our Mishnah. You could have a scenario like that without Reuven having violated any laws. Of course, Yaakov violated here. Amale ba'achotada terekamayim ba'achotada yisur lokamayim. And so Rav Kahana's answer is that our Mishnah is not discussing a case where the sibling relationship was developed by Yisur. In other words, we're talking about cases where everything was on the up and up. Nobody did any nobody violated any laws in creating the relationships or in now being they have the relationships that are addressed. Even though we have this entire scenario, now we kind of come to the end of this piece of the discussion, and Rebbe had castigated Levi for even raising the possibility for one of about five different possible reasons as we went through, either because we don't talk plukta, or because it can't follow the crisscross, or because it cannot happen without an avera, or could not happen without at least some avera in creating the sibling relationship. So nonetheless, Levi challenged our Mishnah, the Tani Levi, because Levi said, "Imo pamim poter tzarata, pamim ena poter tzarata." As Levi said, you know, sometimes the mother could be in there and she could exempt the tzara, and sometimes not. How's that, Kitzad? Let's say that the mother was married to the father, right, and then she went ahead and married the son. His paternal son, his paternal brother, sorry, who made Zui Imo Shein Poteret Sarata. She's not Poteret Sarah because really she's also to all the brothers. And therefore the Tzarot, like all the other Sheshareot, are still in the Yibum. Haita Imo Anusataviv Venisait Lachi, but let's say that the mother was Anusataviv, that she married a brother, Me'aviv, who made Zui Imo Shein Poteret Sarata. Because now that marriage was illegal. And then when she falls to her own son, that's something that she can only not marry him, but she could marry the other brothers. Therefore, like a Hodisha, she's poter the tzarot. Even though, and Levi said, even though our Mishnah says 16, we should add a 16. Kigonzu, this one, meaning imo anusat aviv. He said, because evidently he rejects Rabbi Yehuda, and he says imo anusat aviv is mutter to the brothers, and therefore, in that case, it could play out in our Mishnah. Now, that ends that piece of the discussion. The next half of what we're going to do this morning deals with the machloka between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about the status of the chalutza after she's in, after a woman after she's received chalitza What is her relationship now with A, any of the brothers, and B, specifically the brother who gave her chalitza? And another consideration is, what is the status of other women who were released via this chalitza? Do they maintain the relation, the isur of eshet ach, to any of the brothers, or has something changed? And that's the machloket. We're going to do a backdoor into the machloket, starting with this discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, right here. It goes as follows. Amar le Shlokish Rabbi Yochanan. Shlokish said to Rabbi Yochanan, well, Levi, according to Levi, the Amar, de'i namiktani. Levi says that our Mishnah will include even cases where somebody violated the law and married improperly. Why don't we take a situation where a guy does chalitza, and then he goes back and remarries her afterwards, and then he dies, because that's certainly illegal. The question is how illegal it is it? And then he dies, below bani, migo di asura tzaratana mi asira. After all, since this chalutza is not allowed to marry the brother, therefore all the tzarot are not allowed to marry either. So Amalei the fisha'ina b'tzarat tzara. So Rabbi Yochanan said, because this case could not be tzarat tzara, because it couldn't go any further. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan answer? Because a chalutza is no longer an erva. She's just chavi lavin. There's just a lav not to marry her. And therefore, somebody who was, let's say, a woman falls to you as a chavi lavin, then you have to do chalitza on her, right? So the answer is the dvar of kamarle. Rabbi Yochanan was answering to Rish Lakish. Di chavi lavin him. And Rabbi Yochanan said, as far as I'm concerned, a chalutza who then goes ahead and remarries the brother who gave her chalitza, he violated a lav, which means the kedushin artofes, which means that if she's married and to him, and there's other women there, then one, and he dies without children, one of those women needs chalitza now. Right? Now, v'chavilav min chalitza v'yibum ninu. Good, and the tzarot could do yibum ninu. Ela l'didach, but Rabbi Yochanan was saying, to you, Rish Lakish, chavikritu ninu, you say that all of the other women are, still, the original erev of eshet ach continues after chalitza, relative to all the brothers. Fishena b'tzarat tzara. The reason it's not in the Mishnah is because it's not b'tzarat tzara. Now let's see the background of this. Idmar. Hacholet tzlivim to v'choz v'kitsha. So a man does chalitza. There's five brothers. There's five women who are married to the sixth brother. Sixth brother dies without children. None of them are arayot to the brothers at all. One of the brothers does, brother number one died. Brother number two does chalitza to wife number one. Good. So now, he goes back afterwards and says, I'm going to marry you, and he's Makadish. Amar Shlokish, who in Chayav ala Chalutza Karet? He says, his relationship to the one he gave Chalutza with is not Karet anymore, it's a lav. Achin Chayavin ala Chalutza Karet. But the other brothers, three through five, do have a relationship of Karet to the Chalutza. And ala Tzara, ben hu ben achim Chayavin ala Tzara Karet. But any of the other wives two through five, with any of the brothers, including the guy who did chalitza, there is still karet. In other words, eshet ach is still in place. Yochanan Amar Ben Hu Uvein Ha'achin Einan Chayavin Lo La Chalutza Karet Lo Tzara Karet. Yochanan says all of them are lav, meaning the brother did chalitza or any of the other brothers, the woman who got chalitza or any of the other women, there's only a lav and not karet anymore. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the erva of eshet ach gets lifted through chalitza, that's the entire relationship. According to Reb Shlokish, it only gets lifted between that particular brother and that particular wife. Good. My time in Reb Shlokish, why does Reb Shlokish say that? Limited. Amar kra, shalav ne. The pasuk says that in chalitza, this is what happens to the man who will not build his brother's house. Once he refused to build the house, he may no longer build the house. In other words, once he gives chalitza, he is no longer in the category of eshet ach. He's now got a new iser, which is much milder. It's a lav, which is lo yivne. He's not allowed to build that house. The rest of the brothers are still have an eshet ach relationship. And it's only relative to the woman he gave chalitza to that the lo yivne applies. Hatzaraka to Kami Kami, but all of the other women still have the same Esh and Ach relationship. That's what Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says the only relationship that changes is the particular man who gave Chalitza to that particular woman. They now have a lav. And if he was to go back to Mikadesh, or the Kiddush would be Tofes, and if she was then to fall to Yibum, the Tzarot would not be Patur, and she could be even get Chalitza. Good. Now, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan, Miika Midi Mikara, Ibai Hai Chalitz, Ibai Hai Chalitz, how could you have a situation? Brother number one could have given Chalitza to number, to wife one, or to wife two, or to wife three. And now that he gave chalitza to one, suddenly the other one is a karet to him? That's kind of strange that a few minutes ago he had an option of marrying her, and now suddenly she becomes a chiyuv karet. The answer is that when the brother number two does chalitza, he is doing the agency of the brothers. And she is doing the shlichut of all the wives. Which means all the brothers and all the wives now are in this lo yivneh category, and they are no longer in the category of eshet ach. Now, eitav Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan tries to prove his point to Rish Lakish that there is no more karet in any of these relationships left after chalitza. A very clear statement that says that if a man gives chalitza to a woman, and then he goes back and is mekadesh her, and he dies, she needs chalitza. And of course, if she was chiyuv karet, then there would be no chalitza at all, there would be nothing. According to me, I say it's chavilavin, hainu tetzricha chalitza minachin. Why? Because, after all, this kiddushin is a valid kiddushin, her presence is recognized, and she needs chalitza for that reason. According to you, Rish Lakish, why should she need chalitza? When he went back and married her, the marriage doesn't exist because everybody agrees that kiddushin do not hold when they are between people whose relationship is a chiyuv karet. And in kiddushin tofsin b'chavi kritu. So for the tameach, so Rish Lakish answers, Ema Seifa, look at the second half of the statement. Amar echad min achin b'kitsha, let's say one of the other brothers of the kadeshur, ein lo alav klum, there's nothing there, no kiddushin at all. Well, how could that be? B'chavi lavin, you know, amai ein lo alav klum, if they are only chayv lavin according to you, then how come there's no marriage here? The answer is the seifa is fitting in with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. This is, of course, very difficult, but just one quick note about Rabbi Akiva. We all agree that ein kiddushin tofsin b'chayv kretot and chayv mitot beitin. A man gives kiddushin to his daughter, to his mother-in-law, whatever it is. It's a meaningless act. But a man gives kiddushin, let's say a kohen gives kiddushin to a grusha, a man gives kiddushin to a mamzeret, whatever, the kiddushin are tofes. It's a violation, but the kiddushin are tofes, and it's considered kiddushin. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that kiddushin are not tofes even machavilavin. Ein kiddushin tofes machavilavin. Well-known sheet of Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see it many, many times in the Masech. All right, the main sugya is Hadam Dafin Tet, through a machloket about where kiddushin are limited to. Starts with Mem Ten Amud Aleph at the beginning, and so Rav Sheshet says Seifa Atan the Seifa is representing Rabbi Kiva's opinion. And therefore, if she marries any one of the brothers, she goes ahead after Chalitza and marries any one of the brothers, there's nothing there. But of course, that's difficult because the first half of the statement was against Rabbi Kiva. Now this half of the statement is in accordance with Rabbi Kiva. So Valitni Lo Diver Rabbi Kiva in Alav Klum. So why doesn't the text say, and according to Rabbi Akiva, there's nothing there? The answer is Kasha. You're right. That's difficult. It should say that. We will pick up this discussion in Yirtzeh Hashem in the next podcast, the very beginning of Daf, Yudah Aleph, Amud Aleph. And after the podcast following it, we should be at the end of the Sugya, at the end of this Mishnah, on Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph. Everyone should have.